president is a person reflecting a half glass full mentality.
What? The vice president reflects a half glass full. I thought I was going to say a half-assed mentality, but no. You know, I don't quite get this. I love horses. I used to teach Western riding at YMCA camp in southern Michigan. I loved a horseback ride. I also think Tyra Banks is gorgeous. But the lead story on ABC News tonight was the death of a racehorse, the necessity to put the horse down, which they went on for 3 or 4 minutes with the surgeons on there, the veterinarians all choked up. I love horses. I really do. Tyra Banks, CNN is now covering whether or not her weight gain or her weight loss really reflects bulimia or Jesus God. Oh, well. And why is that important? Why are these things important when we're on the cusp of this madman in the White House initiating a strike against Iran, probably nuclear, and thus beginning World War III? Well, good evening, truth seekers. I'm sorry, I don't mean to come slamming down on you like an avalanche like that, but my God, Bush was interviewed by Juan Williams on NPR today. So yes, we have moron sounds a-popping for you tonight. You're not going to believe some of what he said. And a happy post-protest Monday, truth seekers. Call in if you attended a protest yesterday. We want to hear what you may have experienced. Peace activists from across the country were in Washington Saturday, I should say, not Sunday, Saturday, for what was the largest demonstration to date against the Iraq War, according to the organizers. And I believe it. Half a million or more gathered outside the halls of Congress on the National Mall. And the huge demonstration in Washington produced about a half a dozen anti-war members of Congress, which was astonishing. Usually in those events, the only person you would see there would be Cynthia McKinney. The mood among the demonstrators, from the reports that we've gotten, was optimistic. About 1,000 people turned out in Seattle, about 5,000 in L.A., San Francisco. About 50 demonstrations held around the country this past Saturday. I know. Not enough, right? Well, let's try to be like Dick Cheney is, according to Bush. Let's see the glass is half full. Well, it's only Monday, and this week I don't know. There's talk that Bush is planning on launching a nuclear strike against Iran in April, but it may happen this week. Given what's happening with the Bush crime family, it's falling apart at the seams, or it seems to be. This pig that is now the press secretary, Tony Snow, tried to convince the White House press corps that the ongoing Libby trial wasn't affecting the White House.
We don't pay any attention to that.
Just because Cheney ordered Libby to out a covert CIA agent's identity to get back at her husband for exposing the lies Bush told about Iraq's interest in uranium. No problem. We got a war to fight. We're fighting the war on terrorism. And just because two White House spokesmodels, Ari the Pencil Neck Geek and Simple Scotty the Duck, both repeatedly lied, flicking their forked tongues at the crack White House press corps about nobody in this White House being involved in the leak. And just because today Ari totally contradicted Louis Libby's testimony, and just because Cheney gave a completely psychotic interview to Newsweek, and more Republicans are defecting, leaving Bush's team on this Iraq adventure, and now also on immigration and Bush's plans to attack Iran, and on, no, everything's fine. What, me worry? There's nothing to worry about. I may have the IQ of a turnip, but now when we play for you Juan Williams' interview with the moron, there's one sound bite in particular where he talks very slowly. And I want you to decide whether or not he is having information fed to him through the bug in his ear. We'll get to that in a moment. Today, nine anti-war protesters were arrested when they gathered in a House office building to read off the names of the American and Iraqi war dead. Not going to have any of that crap. No, sir. Not in Washington. No, no, no. U.S. Capitol Police spokeswoman Sergeant Kimberly Schneider said the nine were charged with unlawful assembly. Unlawful assembly. They got together in a House office building, American citizens on property that belongs to them, to read off the names of American dead, which are our people, and Iraqi war dead. No, 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 that's unlawful assembly. The protesters were standing around a courtyard pool outside, inside the Rayburn House office building, throwing yellow roses onto the ice. As they recited the names of Iraq war victims, no, no, we'll have none of that crap! Yellow roses, huh? Reciting the names of the dead, huh? Well, these people will go to jail now, right now. Right now. And so they did. Also today, about 100 people staged a short demonstration in the Hart Senate office building with demonstrators waving children's shoes to represent Iraqi children killed in George Bush's murder spree. And these protesters also unfurled anti-war banners from the balconies around the building's atrium. Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Code Pink, said, quote, we feel the American people don't know how many Iraqis have been killed because of the American invasion, end quote. That's true, Medea. It's also true because we have in this country, for the most part, a news media that consists of nothing but paid streetwalkers who are only interested really in whether or not their makeup is on right. Jesus God. I got to share this with you. This is from Eric in Miami. He emailed in today. He says, Mike, I watched the march in Washington yesterday on C-SPAN. When the actual march started, I could not help but notice the presence of a lone black man with a cell phone. I kept looking and saw a black woman with reddish hair. Those are the only two blacks my eyes told me were there. If that is how it is very scary reality. Washington, D.C. is a town with the majority of black folks. Black people stand to suffer and lose more than any other group if the Republican plans are ever established. I am a black man who goes to different political meetings, and most of the time I'm the Lone Ranger. If there is another black person there, it is always a woman. What has happened to the black man? Does he think that it is enough to show up once every 4 years at the voting booth? Mike, I'm going crazy trying to tell my people that this stupid belief that Jesus is going to come back is exactly what is going to destroy us as a race. They refuse to listen and continue to turn away from politics and instead choose to embrace superstition. Every day I discover something troubling and disturbing about the people I call my neighbors and friends. I just wish I could get away sometimes. To hell with this crap. Eric, Miami. P.S. Maxine Waters has more courage in one little finger than all the other Democrats have in their whole bodies. It is amazing how no one is talking about her speech in the media, Air America included. You show some courage in this country and you are treated as if you are crazy and unpatriotic. I wish there was a way besides calling her office this morning to show her my appreciation for her courage. I didn't know that to be the case, Eric, about the participation of darker-skinned Americans, but I'll take your word for it, pal. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network.
Freedom for me and you. That's why I'm marching. Yes, I'm marching. Marching down Freedom's Road. Ain't nobody gonna stop me. ain't nobody gonna keep me from marching down freedom's road. Ought to be plain as the nose on your face, there's room in this land for every race. Some folk think that freedom just ain't right. Those are the very people I want to fight. That's why I'm marching. Yes, I'm marching.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Got to get away. I'm gonna leave the city. Got to get away. All this fussing and fighting.
21 past the hour. By the way, Father Robert Drynan died yesterday. Those of you over a certain age and a certain political inclination know who he was. First Roman Catholic priest, he was a Jesuit, I believe, to serve as a member of Congress, and he was the first to introduce a resolution in Congress calling for the impeachment of Nixon. And what is interesting, it was not about the Watergate scandal; it was about Nixon's illegal bombing of Cambodia. I believe he died Sunday. Libby sent me an email, said, Father Drynan died this week. We should at least remember that when he was in Congress, he tried to impeach Nixon for Cambodia. And then as an afterthought, besides, Barbaro was really a sweet horse who came from here, referring to the Kentucky Derby winner. Hey, look, no offense, Libby, about the horse. Really, if you go to the front page online of the New York Times, you see a story there about Barbaro euthanized, but you don't see anything about Father Drynan. Now, I realize Father Drynan's death was yesterday, and in news cycles, that's already ancient history. But thanks, Libby. A couple emails here. This is from Mickey. Last week, I was talking about Clinton. Mickey writes, you were talking about Clinton, the things he's been responsible for. I agree that the president is responsible, but politics has such a way of clouding the issues through special interests. The difference between being Republicans and Democrats is that Republicans are direct representatives of business interests, whereas Democrats are usually, to the best of my knowledge, merely influenced or affected by them. That doesn't mean we shouldn't spank them at the polls. On the contrary, to speak with a vote sends a message to the special interest groups that we don't play the game. I have a hard time believing that Jimmy Carter was a force for the Somoza regime in Nicaragua, even though his administration supported it. So I have to give him the benefit of the doubt and tell the difference between the politicians we should fire for being weak and the ones we should hate, fire, and prosecute for being liars and murderers. Yeah, that's probably a good point. I sometimes get unnerved about what appears to be almost rock star adulation for Bill Clinton, though. You know, Clinton was the president who signed the legislation by the Republicans that said the difference between white powder cocaine and white crack cocaine, if you possess the white powder, you get X amount of years in prison if convicted. If you possess the rock, you get X plus years in prison. And the white politicians who wrote that law knew full well that crack was more of a condition of cocaine of choice among black folk, and powder was more of a condition of the drug among white folk, even though the pharmacological composition of both is exactly the same. So if you have rock cocaine, you're going to prison for a long time. If you have powder cocaine, you're not. And Clinton signed that. I mean, I could sit here all night and talk about laws like that Clinton signed. But why bother? It's, again, like I say, You know, I've heard black folks say that, I forget who said it, famously said it, that Clinton was the first black president. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't at all. He wasn't even close to the first black president. He had a very disarming manner, and he did some good things, and he did some things that were not so good, and he did some things that America is going to pay for the rest of the history of this country. Negatively, we're going to pay for it. We already are. So, if you were a Clinton supporter, you know, good for you. But the man didn't walk on water. The only person who ever walked on water was Muhammad Ali. He didn't walk on water, and he really screwed up. Andre says, regarding John Bolton, our once and former representative of the UN, Bolton is at least honest. According to AP report, quote, former U.S. envoy of the United Nations, John Bolton, said in an interview published in France that the United States has, quote, no strategic interest in a united Iraq, end quote. And as Andre writes, these are Machiavellians, divide and conquer. It's been the method of conquest by every empire, now our own. God, these people make me sick. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. I don't know who done drive them, but I think I'm just the same. Bales of cocaine falling like pouring rain. My life stands completely by the flying plane. So I loaded up them bales in my pick-em-up truck. Headed west for Dallas, where I would try my luck. I didn't have a notion if I could sell them there. 30 minutes later, I was a millionaire.
Listen, there's all kinds of ways to treat substance. I understand that.
We know you do, Booby. All right. With that as an introduction, we want to move to the interview today on National Public Radio. Juan Williams conducted this interview with Too Stupid to Chew a Pretzel. He was in rare form today, Chuckle Nuts was, with Juan, talking about the history of the past, and half-glass-full outlooks, and analysis of intel fragments, and other statements on Iran. Don't ask. I have no idea what this sick bastard's talking about. He was barely coherent, but what else is new? So, let's begin. Juan began this question on Iraq. Mr. President, the reports that 300 militants were killed the other day, an American helicopter shot down yesterday in Najaf. That's one of the deadliest battles of the war. What can you tell us?
This fight is an indication of what is taking place, and that is the Iraqis are beginning to take the lead. Whether it be this fight that you've just reported on, where the Iraqis went in with American help to do in some extremists that were trying to stop the advance of their democracy, or the report that there's militant Shia had been captured or killed. My first reaction from the on this report from the battlefield is that the Iraqis are beginning to show me something.
Iraqis are beginning to show me something. You sick son of a bitch. All right, for all you psychologists in the audience, whether you are professional, licensed, or amateur, is this not clearly a case of toxic narcissism just bubbling out of what this moron is saying? The Iraqis are beginning to show me something. Son of a bitch. I can't believe this. And the language, whether it be this fight that you just reported on, where the Iraqis went in with American help to do in some extremists. Do in. This, you know, we've been saying for... I've been saying for 4 years that this is a sick, murderous son of a bitch. And about the only person who agreed back in the day was Bartkop. I'm not saying. Ooh, look at me. I'm just saying. I'm the only one that I know of in media that was saying this, especially on talk radio. I know you knew it, Truth Seeker. I know you did. But nobody, not a single liberal talk show host, stepped out there and laid this out 3.5-4 years ago. The only other person in this weird media that we have now, and at the time, I think, hell, we were on what, Kathy, two radio stations and the internet, and maybe Sirius, and the only other person I could think of was Bart Kopp. It's astonishing. It's almost unbearable to think what he has done and to make a statement. The Iraqis are finally beginning to show me something. You son of a bitch! I mean, what is that? Where's Bart Kopp? Bart Kopp and I ought to attack. Oh, be careful, Malloy. You don't want to. He's from Oklahoma. Oh, God. Next, Bush prattled on about the legislature's inability to grasp the stakes of failure, huh? And alluded to more than one mission. Juan Williams says, Mr. President, now you've got a vote tomorrow in the Senate to consider a resolution opposing the troop buildup. Vice President Cheney said last week that vote would validate the insurgent strategy. He did, and so do you agree.
Well, there's a lot of strong opinions about it. My attitude is the legislators will do what they feel like they've got to do. We want to work with them as best we can to make it clear what the stakes of failure will be.
What?
And also make it clear to them that I think they have a responsibility to make sure our troops have what they need to do the missions.
To do the missions. Now, I know you're an illiterate ass, but missions, plural, like what, invading Iran, Mensa boy? Talk about Blackwater and the private mercenaries that are working just below the surface. Just tell us about that part of your plan, Chucklenuts, huh? The stakes of failure, huh? Okay, the stakes of failure. Next, Juan Williams on NPR asks Bush asks him about Senator Cheney's increasingly psychotic insistence that the situation in Iraq is peachy and successful and glorious and wondrous, and we have always been at war with East Asia. Bush says Cheney's glass needs refilling, or his glasses need cleaning, or something. It made no sense at all. Juan Williams says, well, another question about Vice President Cheney. He said last week, here I'm quoting, we've encountered enormous successes, and we continue to have enormous successes in Iraq. 2 weeks ago, sir, you said, quote, there hadn't been enough success in Iraq. So it sounds like there's a conflicting message there?
Oh, I don't think so. I think the vice president is a person reflecting a half-glass-full mentality, and that is he's been able to look at, as have I, and I hope other Americans have, the fact that the tyrant was removed, 12 million people voted. There's an Iraqi constitution in place that is a model for and unique for the Middle East. I will tell you, 2005 was a great year for freedom, and then the enemy took a good look and said, what do we need to do to stop the advance of freedom? And 2006 was a tough year. And I have said that the progress is not good enough.
This is an outrage. This is an outrage for anyone who considers himself to be civilized. There is not a nation that follows the rule of law anywhere on earth that will accept the premise that a constitution written or an election held by a people who are under occupation is valid. Nowhere. Nowhere. As a matter of fact, I believe it's even written into the rules that such an election, or such a government, or such a constitution is totally worthless. And yet here sits this man crowing about an election forced down the people of Iraq by an occupying army, a constitution that is gibberish where it concerns what the people of Iraq want, obviously. And there he sits talking about it. I think that the vice president is a person reflecting a half-glass full mentality. Half-glass full of what? Scotch? Digitalis? Pig blood? 2005 was a great year for freedom? Juan Williams of NPR then asked a question on behalf of one of our troops in Iraq who wants to know what Raisin Brain's plan is if his surge fails a fifth time. This gyrene wants to know what's coming next. So, Juan Williams says, Mr. President, NPR has a reporter embedded with the Minnesota National Guard in Iraq. And one of the soldiers there asked us to ask you this question. He says, quote, my name is Specialist Ryan Schmidt from Forest Lake, Minnesota. And my question for you, Mr. President, is what if your plan for a troop surge to Baghdad does not work? End quote. So what do you think, Mr. President?
I would say to Ryan, I put it in place on the advice of a lot of smart people, particularly the military people, who thinks it will work. And let us go into this aspect of the Iraqi strategy feeling it will work. But I will also assure Ryan that we're constantly adjusting to conditions on the ground.
Talk about Iran for a second.
And let me also say to Ryan, thanks for serving.
Nice reserving. You might die, get your face and arms boned off to protect Exxon's oil interests. So I thank you. What's the matter? Couldn't find a job back there in Forest Lake, Minnesota? Son of a bitch. He says, I would say to Iran, I put it in place on the advice of a lot of smart people, particularly the military people, think it will work. Who are these people he's talking about? He ignored the advice of the so-called smart people in the Iraq study group, and none of the generals says this will work. Even Petraeus says the plan only has a chance of working, and only if all these intricate pieces fall into place, and the Iraqi toy government, our puppet government, lives up to a series of unrealistic political benchmarks. Let me tell you something, truth seeker. I have a better chance of getting an NFL championship ring on Sunday than this plan has of working. Oh, my God. And also, let me say, Ryan, thanks for serving. Murderous. Murderous. Jackass. I just I haven't talked to Bart Kopp for a long time. I feel like I need to we may have to go out to Oklahoma and sit down and get drunk with him. Jesus, God. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
But it seems you're out of stock. There's nobody home. When I ask if I can count on you, nobody home. You take off your gloves and shoes. There's nobody home. The sign says there's no vacancy. As you stare at me vacantly, the lights are out, but I can't see. There's nobody home. Oh, no, there's nobody home. I love your smile, but when you talk, there's nobody home. I love it when you speak your mind. Nobody home. It's nice to have some quiet time. There's nobody home. The sign says there's no vacancy, but everything you say to me convinces me most certainly there's no...
I view our nuclear arsenal as a deterrent. I'm interested in having all... having an arsenal at my disposal.
Sick bastard. Okay, that's a good lead in to the next question and response. On to Iran and his deadly plan for that nation. Bush here warns of the dangers of rewriting the history of the past or something, I guess, as opposed to the history of the future. Oh, this is his... necessary Holocaust reference, is that what it is? Juan Williams says, Let's talk about Iran. Iran's ambassador to Iraq says Iran is planning to greatly expand its economic and military ties with Iraq. You said you have proof of Iran's role in attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq. I know you want to take care of this diplomatically, I've heard you say that, but if Iran escalates its military action in Iraq, how will the U.S. respond?
If Iran escalates its military action in Iraq,
yes,
to the detriment of our troops and or innocent Iraqi people, we will respond firmly. It makes common sense for the commander-in-chief to say to our troops and the Iraqi people and the Iraqi government that we will help you defend yourself from people that want to sow discord and harm. And so we will do what it takes to protect our troops. Our relationship with Iran is based upon a lot of different issues. One is what's happening in Iraq. Another is their ambitions to have a nuclear weapon. The Iranian people have got to know that this government and the United States bears no hostility to them. We're just deeply concerned about a government that is insisting upon having a nuclear weapon and at the same time rewriting history, the history of the past, regards, for example, the Holocaust.
This is so Hitlerian. I mean, it really is. When he says it makes common sense for the commander-in-chief to say to the Iraqi people and the Iraqi government that we will help you defend yourself from people that want to sow discord and harm. Am I wrong, or didn't Maliki make a trip to Tehran and sit down and talk with, I mean, isn't this coming from the highest levels of the Maliki government and the Ahmadinejad, whatever the hell his name is, who probably won't be around too much longer, no thanks to Bush, thanks to the Iranian people. But aren't these interactions, see, what Bush doesn't know, I guess, is that the Iraq and Iran were in a murderous six-year-long war against each other that killed millions on both sides. That was fueled and funded by the Reagan crime family, and these pigs that are now running the U.S. government, who were like Rumsfeld, who were providing Saddam with weapons and providing surveillance for the Iranians. You know, just playing just so obviously. Playing one side against the other for the obvious reasons. And apparently Bush doesn't, I guess he doesn't think you know that. He says the Iranian people have got to know that this government in the United States bears no hostility to them. That's what we said about the Iraqis before we moved in and ended their country. And their society, and their social structure, and their lives, and their children, and their mamas, and their daddies, and their water supply, and their natural resources. Somewhere, I guess, I'm not metaphysical, although I do, I guess I believe in something, but there has to be a response to this on some level of consciousness or non-consciousness or some metaphysical level. There's got to be some response. And maybe not. I mean, what was the response to Hitler's butchery? Suicide in a bunker? What was response to Stalin's butchery? Being murdered by his inner circle? What was the response to Mao's insanity and butchery? So maybe not. All right. Back to Juan Williams. Why should we believe Bush about Iranian nukes since he lied about Iraq's weapons? Mr. Williams says, one last thing, Mr. President, when you look at the quality of intelligence that you're getting about the nuclear program in Iran right now, do you think it's better than the quality of intelligence you are getting about WMDs in Iraq?
I just want you to know that there was a universal belief.
That's a lie.
That Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, including critics of Iraq. Like the French, who voted for 1441 in the Security Council. And therefore, when it turned out not to be true, there's a certain skepticism about intel.
Because you lied.
However, the skepticism about intel, while it needs to be tempered by, you know, an analysis of statements and or other fragments of intelligence. What I'm trying to say is that I take the Iranian nuclear threat very seriously, even though the intel on Iraq was not what it was thought to be. And we have to. Now, and so we're constantly evaluating and answering this legitimate question by always working to get as good intelligence as we can.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that answer? When it turned out not to be true, this great intel that he had about Iraq, it turned out not to be true. No, it didn't turn out. It's not passive. You and your cohorts, you evil bastard, came up with lies to begin with. But listen to him. And people are still debating whether this guy is delusional or not. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. All right, we want to finish up with a couple more here of Juan Williams' interview with George W. Bush today. Juan Williams being the talk host on NPR, Talk of the Nation, I believe it is. Now, on the hideous omission of any mention of the damage from Hurricane Katrina to the Mississippi Gulf Coast in his State of the Union screed, listen to the delusion in this answer. Juan Williams says, quote, let's talk for a second about the State of the Union speech. You didn't mention Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans, or the Gulf Coast. A lot of people from Louisiana, including David Vitter, the Republican senator, say they regret that. Do you?
I have been talking a lot about Katrina and about the fact that I worked with the Congress to get about $110 billion sent down to both Mississippi and Louisiana to help them on their reconstruction efforts. There's more work to be done.
Jesus, God.
Take the housing issue, for example. We have sent money down to the Louisiana folks, Louisiana Recovery Administration, or Authority, to fund their plan. And the money is there, and the money is available. But, no, our response to the Katrina recovery has been very robust. And I appreciate the taxpayers. I appreciate the taxpayers of the United States helping the folks down there in Mississippi and Louisiana.
You appreciate it. You appreciate the taxpayers helping the folks down there. You sick bastard. Meantime, today there's a congressional hearing in New Orleans about this, and I believe it was the mayor of New Orleans who said he doesn't need more money. He would just like to see the money that's already been allocated by this thug. $110 billion sent to Mississippi? That's crazy talk. That's absolute insanity. Every single report I've been able to get my hands on say at the most 6 or 7 billion has been released or spent. And most of that is passed through Blackwater and Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root and these thuggish accomplices of Haley Barbour and Trent Lott. $110 billion? He's mad. He's insane. He says our response to the Katrina recovery has been very robust. You almost expect him to say, "And we're winning." I'm talking about Iraq. No, Katrina. No. Oh, never mind. Jesus God. Well, to you folks, I bet Sarge is thrilled to hear that $110 billion has been sent there. Last one tonight, Bush talks about his legacy, which, by the way, is not dissimilar to that of, President Washington. Huh? Juan Williams says, "Mr. President, you've talked about Harry Truman and the challenges that Truman faced during his time here in D.C. He wasn't popular toward the end of his presidency. But history ended up judging him very well. Is that your hope now?"
My own view is that history will take care of itself. History has a long reach to it. I told people that last year I read three analyses of Washington's administration, and my attitude is if they're still writing about the first president, the 43rd doesn't need to worry about it. And so the other thing is that I think it's very important for people for a president to make decisions based upon principles.
Oh, God.
You can be popular, but you may be wrong.
And you're both, huh?
And I would rather, when it's all said and done, get back home and look in the mirror and say, I didn't compromise the principles that are etched into my soul in order to be a popular guy.
Principles that are etched into my soul? What would those be? A bloodlust for as much death and destruction as you can bring to the Middle East? Principles etched into your soul? What the hell are you talking about? George, a lust for oil is not a principle. A hatred of Muslims is not a principle. Being the butt boy of the fundamentalist dominion Christians in this country is not a principle. Those are signs of severe mental illness, George. They're not principles. Who told you they were? Oh, that's right. Never mind. You're going to be popular in hell, George. You really are, because there are a lot of people in hell that think the same way that you do. I realize I'm overusing his name tonight, but Hitler was one, wasn't he? Huh? Wasn't he ridding Europe of the Jewish question? Huh? How about Pol Pot? Wasn't he getting rid of the people who wore glasses? What about Mao? Didn't he decide that the petty bourgeois had to go in order to allow the spirit of the peasant to rise and soar like an eagle? Huh? What about Stalin, who decided that collectivization was the only way to go, whether the people wanted... Yeah, you're going to have lots of company in hell, George. All right, a couple of quick emails here about my writer from Miami, Eric. Who identified himself as a black man who didn't see any black faces and saw a couple at the march. This is from Rita. "Dear Mike, like Eric, I also am black. I'm a female who did not attend this year's festivities in D.C., but it was the same situation in October 2004 when I did attend. There were no blacks, but I got pissed off and decided to venture out to find out why not, and guess what I discovered? I walked miles around the town, and in every single store I went into, there were black people, all working. And many of them I stopped to talk with about why they were not present at the march, and I was told that that day was an opportunity for them to get in 8 hours of work. And others said they were required to work. And that was not surprising, that they would be required to work to make sure there were no black faces protesting against this crap. As I looked up and down the streets, I saw the cabs, limousines, police, and public buses were driven by guess who? All black people. All the restaurants had black cooks and waiters that were required for duty because this was big business. I was told by many of them this was an opportunity for them to finally make some money because white Americans were on leave and did not take the hours from many of them that had low seniority. This is not to justify all the absence because I flew in from California, but I'm currently retired after 36 years of government service, and not many blacks can boast of that, still be able to take trips like that just for the hell of it. Just a note, Rita says, to add some light to the fire. And this is from Great Hair. Hi, Mike. I've thought a lot lately about why all the disenfranchised in this country, the homeless, blacks, illegal immigrants, whites, are seeming to be turning on each other, murdering each other, or getting hooked on drugs rather than turning on the government, who is at the root of their problems. Violent crime is on the increase. I wish more people would march too, but I don't think it's their chosen faiths that are keeping them from speaking. I think it's the same reason that the rest of us aren't out there, even though we are there in spirit. We are too occupied with our daily and monthly struggles to stay afloat. Hell, we can't take a day off lest we not be able to pay the water bill. The mainstream media is the reason most people have no idea of what's been done to them by the Bush crime family and the Republicans. Otherwise, there would never be enough D.C. street cops to contain the rage. Okay, a couple more here very quickly. This is from Brett. Mike, I'll let you know that the Seattle anti-war march was, I would say, a tremendous success. The group went by the recruitment center in an attempt to deliver two photo albums of the dead soldiers by the Iraq Veterans Against the War was made. The police stood guard in front of the doorway, and there was absolutely no response from the people inside. Things got a little heated as the woman next to me was thrown down to the ground and handcuffed. It was all I could do to resist charging them. The crowd was chanting, "Shut it down," for quite a while. Apparently they did. The march ended at a performing arts center where Aaron Watata and former Black Panther and Senate candidate Aaron Dixon gave beautiful plain-spoken speeches that were also amplified outdoors for the people in the grass since the hall was packed. All went well, and in fairness, all things considered, the police were even tempered and even helpful. And then Brent sent a link to a video that is available. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. The war economy is making new jobs, but the people who benefit most are breaking bread with their benevolent host, who never stole from the rich to give to the poor. All he ever gave to them was a war.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, go to. I was listening to the feed coming from the home office in Phoenix, KPHX, about the Nova M website. Go check it out. The brand new website is up now. A lot of people emailed me over the weekend and said, you know, it's just too damn difficult. I don't. And you had a good point. But Billy and Ben have it all working. It is in great shape. And what we're looking for are the founders, Nova M Founders Club members. All you have to do is just sign up for the podcast or sign up for the the membership. It's $10 a month or $100 a year. And it's not just me. I mean, Jesus. I understand there's some talk going on right now about some of the talent that may wind up at Nova M. People that you are very familiar with. That's all I can say. I probably said too much. But right now, yeah, it's Mike Newcomb and Mike Malloy. You know, big whoop. It may be more than that, and I have a feeling it's going to be, in the not-too-distant future. And, yes, I'm trying to tease you into it. So they're, they're just... You know what they say, those who know don't talk, those who talk don't know. So I just want to tease a little bit out there. There's a hell of a lot more that's going to happen here at Nova M than has been released to some of these right-wing half-witted bloggers and mainstream media and so on and so forth. I mean, the big focus is, oh, Al Franken is going to leave on the 14th and run for the Senate. Oh, Christ. Like, who cares other than Al and his family? I mean, really, who cares? But the structure of Air America is going to change dramatically. You can take that to the bank. And Nova M, there are some things in the works that I just want you to be aware of. And that's all I can tell you. So based on that little tease and the fact that there is enough there now to justify the $10 a month, please do it. If you can't afford it, I understand. The program, the streaming is always free. If you listen on the Internet, it's always free. If you listen on the radio, it's always free. Sirius, you have to sign up anyway. So, you know, do whatever works for you. Nova M will never make this program or any program on the network a paid service as far as the live broadcasting. That's out there. But beyond that, there's a subscription, or we're calling it the Founders. And we hope that you will take advantage of this. We really do. I do. I sincerely do. Again, I'm reminded of that petition that circulated online to get me back on Air America. Jesus, God, 20,000 signatures. Let's throw away 5,000 and say they were just nutball right-wingers. That still leaves 15,000 people. All we're looking for right now is 5,000. And once we hit that 5,000 mark, they're going to have a drawing for 10 grand. And it that either appeals to you or it doesn't. It sure as hell appeals to me. I would love to be involved in something like that. So, you know, for all the people who signed the petition to, and I'm just talking about my little corner of this radio universe, which is a tiny, teensy little sliver. But there were still 20,000 people who signed that petition. All right, come on. So many of you said, and I hope you were serious, that, you know, God, I'd spend a few bucks a month to listen to Malloy. Well, you get a hell of a lot more than me for your $10 a month. You really do. And it's going to be more than that. And that's all I can say. So please join us, all right? Thank you. Max, there are a couple things here, and then to your phone calls. Several of you sent me the link to the Sunday Herald, the Scottish newspaper, about America poised to strike nuclear at Iran's nuclear sites from bases in Bulgaria and Romania. How's that, huh? Now you know why, right? I should say now we know why. It was so important to include these former Soviet bloc countries into NATO or into the into Europe, treat them nice so that the United States can build military bases there from which we can launch attacks against the rest of the world. So Max in Columbus wrote in, Mike, I'm frantic that a nuclear strike is the next step in Iran. I don't know how to voice my concern without sounding like a lunatic. I'm very afraid Congress and the American people can't be this blind and dumb to the possibility. And then Bridget sent in, I'll share that with you when we come back. There was something I picked off of Bart Kopp and a bunch of other emails that I'm not going to do because they're redundant. But everybody is saying the same thing about Bush and Iran. And you talk about scared. I'll share this with you when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century. Revolution, time for retribution.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Retribution.
It's about 25 before the hour. All right, this is an email from Bridget. And Bridget writes, "Hi, Mike. I find myself beginning each day with knots in my stomach, tears in my eyes, and rage in my heart as I read about the fresh atrocities committed in my name while I was sleeping. When I'm not angry at what my country has done, I'm terrified of what it's planning to do. And I say my country rather than this administration because it's way beyond the time when we individual citizens can get away with protecting or projecting all the blame on Bush and company. Yes, they deserve it. But they are only able to continue their drunken rule of this country and devastation of the world because we continue to enable them. Instead of telling the administration no more money except to bring the troops home, the Congress introduces non-binding resolutions. Until every man, woman, and child in this country is in the streets demanding these criminals be removed from office, we are part of the problem. These people have to go. There's no more time. Here's what set me off this morning. An article in a newspaper in Scotland giving us crucial information about the buildup to the destruction of another Mid-Eastern country, about the murder of another ancient civilization and its people. It's not as though we haven't been hearing this from Seymour Hirsch, Scott Ritter, and a few other brave souls, not the mainstream media, of course. But reading this article made it clear to me how long this plan has been in place and how unlikely it is that there is any way to stop it short of removing these people from office now." And what Bridget has sent me here is the link to an article by Gabriel Roné in the Sunday Herald of the UK, which is a newspaper in Scotland. America poised to strike at Iran's nuclear sites from bases in Bulgaria and Romania. And a few quotes here from this article. "President Bush is preparing to attack Iran's nuclear facilities before the end of April and the U.S. Air Force's new bases in Bulgaria and Romania would be used as backup in the onslaught, according to an official report from Sofia, the capital of Bulgaria. The Bulgarian news agency said, quote, American forces could be using their two U.S. Air Force bases in Bulgaria and one at Romania's Black Sea coast to launch an attack on Iran in April. It goes on to say, Sofia's news of advanced war preparations along the Black Sea is backed up by some chilling details. One is the setting up of new refueling places for U.S. stealth bombers, which would spearhead an attack on Iran. The news agency said the United States Air Force's positioning of vital refueling facilities for its B-2 bombers in unusual places, including Bulgaria, falls within the perspective of such an attack. It goes on to say Romania, the other Black Sea host to the U.S. military, is enjoying a dollar bonanza at its Mihail Kogenisinu whatever base at Constanta is being transformed into an American placedarm, place of arms. It is also vital to the Iran scenario. Last week, the Bucharest Daily revealed the United States Air Force is to site several flights of F-15, F-16, and A-10 aircraft at this particular base. Admiral so-and-so, Romania's chief of staff, confirmed, quote, up to 2,000 American military personnel will be temporarily stationed in Romania, end quote. In Central Europe, the Czech Republic and Poland have also found themselves in Pentagon's strategic focus last week. Mirek Topolánek, the Czech prime minister and the country's National Security Council, agreed to the siting of a U.S. anti-missile radar defense system at, and they named the city. Poland has also agreed to having a U.S. anti-missile base and interceptor aircraft stationed in the country. Russia, however, does not see the chain of new U.S. bases on its doorstep as a, quote, defensive ring, end quote. Russia's defense chief has branded the planned U.S. anti-missile sites on Czech and Polish soil as, quote, an open threat to Russia, unquote. Sergei Ivanov, Russia's defense minister, spoke more circumspectly while emphasizing Moscow's concern. He said, quote, Russia's not worried. Its strategic nuclear forces can assure, in any circumstance, its safety. The statement from the Russian defense chief went on, since neither Tehran nor Pyongyang possesses intercontinental missiles capable of threatening the U.S., from whom is this new missile shield supposed to protect the West? And it goes on. It's the SundayHerald.com. You can find it if you want to. The SundayHerald.com. And this is at Bart Cop. Somebody wrote in, Bart, been reading about U.S. military forces having, quote, authorization, end quote, to kill Iranian agents operating in Iraq with the pretense of diminishing, quote, Iranian influence in the region, end quote. Two things come to mind. One, who has the jurisdiction to give this authorization? I'm assuming the decider-in-chief. Two, based on that logic, wouldn't Ahmadinejad also have the moral authority to, quote, authorize, end quote, Iranian agents to kill American agents operating in Iraq with the stated goal of diminishing American influence in the region? For that matter, why don't they also state they have authorization to kill American agents in Mexico, the UK, or wherever else they may be in order to decrease their influence in that region? What the blank? Mandrazo. And Bart answers, Bush wants godlike powers to kidnap, rape, torture, and murder anyone he wants, but if another country tries what he's doing, they are, quote, terrorist nations, end quote. Everybody sees this, but the Bush family evil empire, the Republican Party and their apologists, and the American whore media. I'm so old, I remember when those heinous actions were illegal in America. Yeah, I'm the same age, Bart. I so to speak. Well, anyway. What's this? Oh, Jesus. Do we have... Disagrees with Mike's take on Iraq. Okay. Davis is calling from Tennessee. Davis?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I just get a little confused when we go back 4 or 5 years ago that we wonder why we got in this war and what brought us there, that there was 17 UN resolutions that Saddam Hussein ignored.
As you talk, I'm going to interrupt you because there are about 40 that Israel has ignored. So what? There are 8 or 9 that we've ignored.
Israel is not an enemy of
ours.
No.
You're going to use Iraq's ignoring, in your mind, of UN resolutions as a justification for Bush's unpremeditated attack. Or a premeditated attack on a country that did nothing to us. And I'm just pointing out to you that Iraq is not the only country that ignores UN resolutions.
Okay. There's not a state out there of terrorists, though, that has done that.
Iraq is a state of terrorists?
Of course they would be. Hold on just a second.
Unlike right-wing radio programs, if you're going to make statements like that on this program, you're going to back them up. What proof do you have, or what is your source, that Iraq was a terrorist state before we invaded it?
What proof do you have that...
No, you're the one making the claim. Don't ask me to prove a negative. All right, goodbye,
okay.
Get him out of here. Take him off now. Thank you. Don't play that crap with me, you halfwit. When you call this program and make your statements, I am going to ask you to back them up. Don't dare come back at me and ask me to prove a negative. You're the one calling this program, telling me that Iraq was a terrorist state. Your brain is like jelly. That's what happens when you listen to Hannity and Rush and Fox News Channel. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. The 4 or 5 years ago, Cheney said Saddam was contained within his own country. George W. Bush, the piglet in the White House, has said that Saddam had nothing to do with Iraq. I'm sorry, with 9/11. What terrorists were in Iraq before invasion was the question I was trying to get you an answer to answer. But you are a classic right-wing dumbass. You really are. Don't call me again. God, I can't stand that. Invariably. And I have to breathe the same air as these freaks. I have to live in the same country as these uninformed morons. What the hell is wrong with you? You have access to the same information that normal people have, and yet you refuse to just open up your brain. You sit back like some right-wing sponge and soak up whatever puke and filth and garbage and lies they pump into you, and then you have the audacity to call me? Don't.
I'm sure that Europe is a lovely place to visit. My wife would love to go there every single year. But they're just puffy.
Yep, 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 yep.
They need to shut their yaps, the big dogs over here. I will rule the world forever. I'm straight and white and male, American and free. Condoleezza, check my
Cleaning up America, one flying monkey at a time. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, just a follow-up here from Eric in Miami, who wrote about, as an American of African descent, not seeing a whole lot of his brothers and sisters at the, you know what I mean, at the march. He writes, Mike, I do not mean to take much of your time, but on listening to the replies to my letters, the ones who are saying that we do not have the time, I have one reply, Million Man March. The problem is not that we do not have the time, it is that we are a separated people, and blacks do not participate unless they feel it is a black thing. We need to stop looking at things strictly from a black point of view and learn that it is also about fighting for the general welfare of our country. Eric in Miami. Yeah, I'm sure there are issues, and you bet there are, issues of justice and the law and economics that still remain, to greater or lesser degrees than they were 10 years ago, a black thing. But they also affect whites, and these overarching issues of the Bush crime family affects everybody on the planet. Whether it is a middle-class family in Milwaukee, regardless of that family's race, or people living in Bangladesh, it doesn't matter anymore. Bush is a global madman with the power to end everything. Oh, and by the way, I guess you are aware, are you not, that there are conflicting reports on what really happened in Iraq that resulted in all those people being killed, and this what is being reported is a fierce firefight between Iraqi troops, American troops, and somebody else. And apparently the somebody else sustained several hundred casualties. One of the reports is that the someone else was a cult gang coalition, whatever you want to call it, of Shia and Sunni, who are trying to hasten the end times in their whatever their teaching is of the end times, kind of like the Christian dominionists in this country, who are also trying to hasten the end times. Will you goddamn people stop it? You Islamic and Christian freaks, will you just stop it?
I happened to not want to see your crappy ass end times, okay? Why don't you people just go someplace in somewhere-a-stan and square off and murder each other until all of your bloodlust is satisfied? All you Christians and Muslims, why don't you just do it and leave the rest of us the hell alone? I saw that today and I just about freaked. End times. Armageddon, Christ walking around on piles of corpses, Muhammad drinking cups of blood. What the hell is wrong with you people? Yeah. It's just crazy. It's crazy. There's some kind of madness that has been let loose on this planet. I get these right-wing freak asses call me up, and like this guy that tried to get his sentences in. They were just gibberish. I listened to Juan Williams interviewing this freak on NPR. Read these reports of, oh, okay, we're about to nuke Iran. Jesus God! And then I hear that religious fundamentalists in Iraq decide, well, you know, the prophet. I don't know who the hell they're talking about. They're talking about Jesus or the prophet or who? But some avatar of their sick, degenerate faith is going to take pleasure in seeing lots of blood and murder and mayhem and blown up bodies and come back and do what? You people are mad. You all are. Religious wackos, Jesus God. Why don't you leave the sane people alone? Let us try to save this planet, and let us try to save the ecological balance that the rest of you are just, oh, never mind, to hell with it. It doesn't. It really, you know, what is, what will be, will be. But just astonishing to me. So, and that report makes as much sense as any of the other reports. You know, you got Sunnis murdering Shia and Shia. What is up with that, you sick bastards? And then you have American generals talking about they see Satan's face over Mogadishu, and they're fighting the battle for God. Or, oh man. Okay. See, this is this is why people get nervous about tuning in this program. Because I'm just liable to go off like that and just get absolutely crazed. Oh, well. All right, we have a break coming here. When we come back, we're going to take your phone calls, okay? So if you're still here after the break... If you're still here, now I understand why a couple of the stations, several of the stations when I was at Air America, only carried an hour or two of the program. They figured, well, we'll take the first hour or two and get the hell out of town, you know, drop, you know, get Malloy off the air because he's liable to go off at any second. I'm real sorry I scare the Christ out of you people. I, you know, some of you program directors and syndicators, I really am, but, oh well. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Just let me toss this in, and then your phone calls. I got this from Hal in Arlington Heights, Illinois, and the point Hal is making here is what really happened, one little slice of what really happened at the demonstration in D.C. yesterday and how it was reported by the Associated Press, who should know better. But this has to do with the words of Congressman John Conyers at the rally. Now, this is the way Associated Press reported it. The House Judiciary Committee Chairman, Representative John Conyers, threatened to use congressional spending power to try to stop the war. Looking out at the masses, he said, quote, George Bush has a habit of firing military leaders who tell him the war, the Iraq war, is failing. He can't fire you. Referring to Congress, the Michigan Democrat added, he can't fire us. Now, here's what Conyers actually said. George Bush has a habit of firing military leaders who tell him the Iraq war is failing. But let me tell you something. He can't fire you. He can't fire us. But we can fire him. At these words, the crowd erupted in cheers. Conyers repeated, we can fire him. The cheers rose again, and then there were chants of impeach, impeach. Notice the difference? And Hal includes an audio snippet at citizenstruth.info. But that's what happens. You see, these rotten bastards in media, even Associated Press, that's supposed to just be an agency that provides copy for radio and television and newspapers and magazines. That's all they're supposed to be. And even they do this. They leave it off. We can fire him. At these words, the crowd erupted in cheers. Conyers repeated, we can fire him. And then there were chants of impeach, impeach, and the Associated Press left it off altogether. Well, thanks to Hal in Arlington Heights. Thank you for sending that to me. Even the Associated Press, for Christ's sake, man. Oh, well, nobody ever said that we weren't in this on our own. I mean, the millions of us who are in it. Let's do some phone calls. You want to do some phone calls? Okay, let's do some phone calls. Let's start with Will in Michigan. Hey, Will. Hey, Will, how you doing?
Hey, Mike. Wanted to call in and give you a report on my experience in Washington, D.C.
Well, let's hear it.
Well, we got off the bus in Shady Grove, Maryland, out at the end of the red line on the metro.
Uh-huh.
And took us about an hour to ride the train into downtown. And then from there I went to 700 Pennsylvania Avenue, where they have the Constitution on display.
Right.
And made sure that there weren't any smelly brown stains on it, and made sure they didn't go over it with a black Sharpie or something like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to the gift shop and purchased a full-size replica. And then I walked over to where the Michigan contingent had agreed to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we were in a spot where we couldn't really hear the speakers. So I got to hear a little bit of what Jesse Jackson had to say,
mm-hmm.
but that's about it. I was probably photographed because of my sign a little over 500 times.
Yeah, what did your sign say?
It had a little cartoon character, Calvin, from
yeah.
Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
With his pants down and his back turned. He's yeah. looking over his shoulder and he's peeing on Bush's name.
Yeah.
Saw some really good signs, heard some really, really good chants. My favorite chant was stop the funding, end the war. What the hell is Congress for?
Yeah.
It was just a great time. You know, we here in Lansing, we have we're lucky if we get 300 people to come out and to see that many people. I mean, it was there were people as far as the eye could see.
Yeah.
To see that many people out there was really encouraging.
Yeah, that's the value of one of the values of demonstrations of the sort that you're talking about, is to let people know that it doesn't make any difference what the right-wing pigs say. It makes no difference what mainstream media says. There are millions of people in this country who are very close to saying, okay, I've tried the legislative process, I've tried the protest process, I've tried writing, I've tried emailing. And you get the sense that if there is not a change, then the people are going to resort to the Jeffersonian model and bring about change less peacefully. And I think seeing all those people out there, well, and I'm not saying that the people there were necessarily thinking about anything other than peaceful demonstration. I got several reports about the prayers that began the day's events, prayers from people of three or four different faiths, and I think that's a good thing. You know, while I am not a believer in stuff about prayers, I still think it does have a calming effect on people, especially for the people who subscribe to those ideas. I think it has a calming effect.
Well, I think it was John Kennedy that said, when you make peaceful revolution impossible, you make violent revolution inevitable.
Inevitable, that's right. That's absolutely right, which is another one of those truisms. As Brother Dave would say, a truism as opposed to a lieism. You don't know who Brother Dave is. Don't laugh. All right, well, listen, thanks for checking in, Will, okay?
Okay.
All right, you take care. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Nobody knows who Brother Dave is. He also said things like, it isn't the pendulum swinging to and fro, but the essence that drives it that makes us go. Those are what he referred to as hard sayings. Let's see here. Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
How you doing, Joe?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Oh, well, yes, according to Bill O'Reilly, all those anti-war protesters, they all hate Ronald Reagan, and they all love Fidel Castro.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, Bill O'Reilly, he's always been a wonder to me, you know. I've always wondered about, you know, how he can get sentences and semicolons and words and paragraphs come out of that, that butt crack of his. I've always been amazed by that.
Yeah.
But what is the deal with the Bloods and the Crips back in Washington D.C. with these dueling non-binding resolutions? And if that ain't enough, you got Republicans threatening to filibuster a non-binding resolution.
Yeah.
One that they don't like.
Yeah.
Is this system useless, futile, or what? But you know, I'll tell you, I went.
You're talking about Republicans, Joe. Everything they do is useless and futile. Hold on, I got to do a break. Just stay where you are.
Okay, thank you.
This is Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
21 past the hour, back to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. All right, where were we?
Yeah, you were with me.
Oh, that's right.
Joe from Brookings, Oregon. Something going on there on the technical side, because you guys got some 5 or 7 second delay there or something?
Probably.
Yeah, well, after I got through speaking, I wound up hearing my voice again.
Isn't that weird?
Oh, that's real weird. And I don't
you know what else is weird, man? Like, if you get a little high and you stare at your fingernail, and wow, like after a while you realize that, you know, like the whole universe is there.
Oh, man, what are you making fun of me or something, man? No, that's something that really happened. I don't even like the way my voice sounds on audio.
Okay, but the real reason you called, Joe.
Well, the real reason I called is to hell with this non-binding resolution nonsense.
Yeah.
This is a bunch of bull squeeze.
I know. It drives me insane, too. A non-binding resolution. I didn't know that these thuggish Republicans are planning on filibustering a non-binding. How do you do that?
Well, that's what they were talking about a week or two ago. This was before all the nonsense came up about John Warner and his competing non-binding resolution. So, I mean, a filibuster against a non-binding resolution, which is something useless and stupid in the first damn place. Everybody knows these retards, you know, Bush League Incorporated, they all need to be impeached. That's just the start of it. Put them in prison, maybe they'll have a good time in prison, maybe not. I don't really care.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, thanks, Joe. I appreciate you checking in. Diane is calling from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Hi, Diane.
Hey, I'm surprised you just caught me. I've got so many things to say, I don't even know where to start. I did go to the march.
Yeah.
And I took my grandchildren and my husband and I went. And I don't know why everybody said they weren't black there. I've been to several marches, and there's always a lot of black people. For one, D.C. is a black city.
Right.
But I can tell you, I marched in at one point, there must have been 40 people around us, blacks, that were wearing purple shirts. But be that as it may, it's always been my feeling that the black people have been very, very representative in this movement.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I've been, there's been people out there doing raps and chants, and God knows there's been plenty of speakers on the stage that have been, very forceful.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't been my experience at all. And
right. Well, I think it was just my correspondent from Miami who would be certainly more sensitive to that than, say, you or I would, being white folks. And I think that's what Eric was referring to was, I think it was Eric that wrote, from his point of view, and I certainly respect his take on that, even though your direct experience may have been different. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, sort
okay.
of. The other thing is this thing about you being so scary. Well, trust me, anybody that finds you scary is not paying attention to the news.
Well, that's sort of been my feeling about things. I'm about you can't outscare or be scarier than the stuff that's just on your average newscast about what the Bush crime family is doing. I mean, how do you do that? How do you be more scary than that?
I don't know. I'd be damned if I know. I mean, I wake up every day and hear something just in passing that makes my gut clench.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I don't understand that. And the other thing I wanted to say is that we actually had a wonderful time. It was for me. I really do sometimes fear that we're not going to make it here, and I want my grandkids to know what democracy is like. So that's why I took them. And I thought you might enjoy this little story just to kind of lighten the evening a bit. I had my little ones, they are ages 7 through 10, that could not go with the older ones to the march. And in order for them to participate, I made flyers and we took them out to the local parking lots and garages and wherever and distributed the flyers. And that morning that we left, their mom had them watching the TV and watching the, you know, the stuff on TV. And so the kids were just riveted. I mean, they literally sat for an hour watching the speeches and shouting, you know, down with Bush and things like that. But one of the girls said, hey, I think I see somebody we passed out a flyer to. And the other one said, we gave him a flyer. And I just thought that was so cute.
That's great. It must have been quite an experience for the kids. Hey, I have to leave it there.
Sure,
thanks a lot,
sure.
Diane.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. Take care. I love that. I love to hear when people take their kids to their grandkids. It's so important.
Now, don't get us wrong, because we love America.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malone.
Back to your calls. Darby is calling from Oregon. Darby, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Darby.
So good to be with you.
My pleasure.
I can't imagine why they don't want to carry the last 2 hours of you, because since 2000, we've been 70% of the majority. Anyway, I have a question that I've never heard addressed. I love you, and I won't start naming names, but anyway, I just wondered, I mean, just as a premise, from high school to, you know, a corporate board, what if someone was elected by fraud? Okay. They wouldn't bother with impeachment. Okay. What they do is they would just immediately throw that person out. Now, if that person didn't have anything to do with that fraud, that would be one thing. But everybody that got them there, you know, would certainly be subject to some kind of discipline.
Right.
And so I don't know why we have to fire somebody we've never hired. I don't know why we have to impeach somebody that has refused to take the oath of office seriously, and why we have to go through non-binding resolutions. I mean, I found out this summer for the first time that Gore won the first popular election and Kerry won the second one. So it seems to me that if we would just take control of that thing right there, we could make these other things a lot easier.
Well, I get what you're saying, and essentially you're absolutely right. But the Supreme Court ruling on December 12th, 2000, in Bush versus Gore, was a ruling that. I don't know what higher authority you go to in this country than the Supreme Court, as long as you want to work within or pretend like you're working within the legal system or the constitutional system. Now,
our Constitution, where has that been lately?
Well, I understand.
Seriously.
I understand, but the Supreme Court never said that George Bush should be president and not Al Gore. Even though the effect was the same, what the Supreme Court said was that continuing to count votes in Florida would jeopardize the plaintiff's chance of relief, the plaintiff being George W. Bush. The Supreme Court Well, no, wait. Let me finish.
Okay,
the Supreme Court understood. The five justices understood what they were doing. They are not stupid people. They may be venal. They may have been Republican because one of them is dead and the other one is retired by now. But they are not stupid. So now, as far as the Kerry election is concerned, John Kerry had a chance to challenge that election in Ohio and did not. I mean, if I run a foot race with you and they declare you the winner, and obviously I won, and I just walk away and say, well, you know, just let Darby be the winner, who's to blame? So I understand what you're saying, but impeachment is necessary in order to remove these thugs, because once you're in office, that's the only constitutional way we have of removing them.
Upheld it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he is just totally disregarded. And I just love hearing you every night, and you just say the things that I think in my head all the time.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that's the case. Darby, thanks for checking in. Okay.
Well, I have one more.
Go ahead.
Regarding the fundamentalists of any brand of religion,
uh-huh,
and especially those that want, you know, the end times, I just have a thought to them. Whatever harm that they would do to another might be a good idea if they tested it out on themselves first.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Thanks a lot. I appreciate your comments, Darby. You take care. Bruce is calling from California. Hey, Bruce.
Yes.
Hey, Bruce. Welcome to the program. We're out in California.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Yes.
I'm out actually in Santa Paula, Ventura County.
Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just wanted to, I didn't even realize I was on the air there for a sec. I was thinking about your right-wing friend that called tonight.
Yeah.
And there was a very short opinion piece in the local newspaper today sent in by a local citizen. And it says, like five sentences long, it says, what's the difference between Japan attacking Pearl Harbor and Osama bin Laden's group hijacking planes and flying them into the Twin Towers?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they both an act of war? Mm-hmm. We dropped a bomb on Japan and brought it to a quick end. Why don't we do the same thing to Iraq instead of sending all our troops and putting them in harm's way?
Oh, my God.
Randy Weaver, Ohio. So, you know, tell me. I mean, I was floored when I read it.
Yeah, well, with that kind of mentality, that kind of connecting the dots, that's what makes some of us realize or at least think that this country is doomed.
Yeah.
I mean, if people can make that kind of a statement, you know, why didn't the morons say, why don't we drop a nuclear bomb on Saudi Arabia? That's
yeah,
where
Canada.
The hijackers came from.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wrote back and, of course, fired a letter off in return.
Yeah.
Whether they'll print it or not is another question, but basically I asked very similar questions.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, if they do print it, will you let us know? Because I'd love to see if the newspaper had the integrity.
Yeah,
to do that.
I'll be glad to. I'll give you a call tomorrow. I mean, if it runs, it'll surely run tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And but I, you know, I was just floored when I read it. I was shaking my head. I was almost furious.
Oh, I know. It stuff like that just tends to make a sane person insane.
Mm-hmm.
When you see stuff like that, it's just like, oh my God, what is wrong here?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, that was all I wanted to say. Thanks for just keep on keeping on, Mike. We love what you do.
All right. Well, I appreciate you checking in, Bruce. We'll talk again.
Bye bye.
Take care. Karen is calling from Ventura, California. Hey, Karen.
Hi. I guess Bruce was also from Ventura County. So you got listeners here. He's in Ohio. I'm in Ventura.
Oh, well, cool. That's Ventura County. Well, I'm glad we have a Ventura County contingent.
Well, I think there are many people here concerned. And I do listen faithfully. At the end of each day, I'm doing my emails, my business, and my activist emails back and forth. I did call you last Friday to say I was going to go to the L.A. March. I did. And
how was it?
It was very, oh, my gosh, all of the people. And, you know, I heard your other callers say there weren't any black faces. Or there,
indeed.
Know,
that was an email, and that was from a guy in Miami. And
okay.
he was referring to the D.C. March.
Okay,
Yeah, all he was saying was that he just didn't see that many faces like his in the protest. And like I said, you know, he will be looking differently from the way, say, I would be looking.
Exactly.
I certainly respect his.
I heard that. But I'll tell you truthfully, when I called the three people that I went with, and I said, I recounted this conversation that you had with the person, and we were saying, oh my gosh, we didn't even notice black faces, brown faces, white faces, anything. We didn't notice that. All we noticed were the signs and listened to the speakers. Anyway, what I told your screener I was going to say to you is, please don't lose your passion. Don't think that spewing off turns people off. It motivates people. You come across with passion and with information, the information that we need. It motivates me to no end right now. And the last thing I want to say is that, yeah, I'm very concerned about this new development with Iran wanting to be Iraq's best friend and Bush's response, which was, we will deal firmly. You know, Mike, there was a chance many, many months ago for Bush to use diplomacy in this situation, and he blew it.
Well, he never made the effort. They're not interested. The neocons are not interested in diplomacy. The dominionists are not interested in diplomacy. They're interested in using a hammer, beating people into bloody pulps. These are totalitarians, and their negotiation or diplomacy
is
nonsense.
But it was his responsibility for the American people to use diplomacy so that we wouldn't be in this situation today. And that's why I'm with the people that I marched with on Saturday saying no more funding, no more troops. And if people couldn't make any of the marches, oh, well, that's okay. Just call Congress or your Senate. You know, call everybody.
Yeah.
That's what the message was at the people speaking to us at the rallies. Okay, now we've got to flood their switchboards.
That's
so everybody, if you couldn't go, just get busy on the phone.
That's right.
I'll restrain myself from calling you. I listen. but thank you so much.
Thank you,
really
Karen. You don't have to restrain yourself. Thanks for checking in. I do appreciate it. You know, Karen makes a very good point there that, white folks, we whites very seldom take, we don't pay attention to racial makeup. And that's understandable because whites have always had that privilege. We've never had to take notice of racial makeup. But people of color have to notice that sort of thing. Sometimes it's a matter of survival. And I think that's exactly the point Eric was trying to make. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm afraid of America. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help. Before the hour. Yeah, noticing racial makeup of people in a demonstration, for example, or in any given gathering is not something that whites are inclined to do, we whites, I should say, unless we happen to notice that the racial balance is to a degree that starts to make white folks uncomfortable. That's just the way it is in this country because we all were raised on healthy, heavy, by healthy I mean big, doses of racism. This is the United States of America. I mean, come on. We may all want to get along and love each other and sing kumbaya, but that's not the way it works. And I think that's the reason, because I've gotten a bunch of emails tonight from people trying to understand what Eric in Miami was saying about a black man who says he didn't notice a lot of black faces, and how there may have been 100,000 people of color there, black folks or what have you, but whites don't tend to notice that as much because our survival has not depended on that for 400 years, what the racial makeup is. I'm not being very clear here, I guess. But black people in this country have always had to be aware of where they are vis-a-vis the whites. You know, where am I standing? Where am I sitting? What am I? Am I moving the right way? Is someone noticing me? Trust me on that, truth seeker. So I think that's one of the reasons we whites, when we don't pay any attention to the racial makeup of a huge group of people, we kind of, I used to feel this way, I kind of congratulate myself on my lack of racism, and that's not it at all. That's just not it. That's not what's at play in my head. What's at play in my head is I've never had to notice what the racial makeup is because my survival did not depend on it. My life did not depend on it. And that's not just a Southern thing, although it has probably been more predominant here in the South. That's all. Just wanted to clear that up. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered our program in Phoenix tonight, answered your phone calls. Thanks to our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. Thanks to Mark Marshall and our webmaster, and Catherine Bay, who is the executive producer of this program. It feels very odd not saying Ben Birch every night, but I guess we don't do that anymore, do we? Anyway, we love you, Ben. Don't forget to go to novemradio.com and sign up for downloads and podcasts and all sorts of stuff, and just keep pushing that, please. We keep mentioning it because this is one of the keys for Nova M Radio. And I don't care how anybody spins it or wants it, we are not going to make the mistakes that Air America made. This network will never wind up in bankruptcy. It will never abuse or misuse its talent. So part of that plan is what we are doing at with the Founders Club, is that what it's called, Founders Club? Yeah. So please visit the website, and if for no other reason, just to visit the website. But we hope you will sign up and become a member of the Founders Club. Moses is calling from Florida. Moses, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Mike, for taking my call.
Sure.
It's great hearing you back on the radio again. I've listened to you ever since Air America. What I really wanted to say, the other week when they were giving the Alberto Gonzalez hearings, and I heard the Democratic senators saying so many great questions, and I liked their response. And then I saw when you were playing it, you were very upset. And I was, not only was I confused, but I was kind of puzzled as to why you were so upset.
Now, what was it that you were surprised I was upset about?
Well, I really can't say specifically because it was 2 weeks ago. But you're upset, I guess, at the weak responses that the senators made.
To what particular hearing? Do you remember what hearing it was?
Alberto Gonzalez.
Oh yeah, and I was upset.
Yeah,
okay. You don't know why I'm upset?
No, I know. I thought of why you were upset.
Yeah.
I was thinking about why you were upset, and now I finally realize why. Because none of the senators asked Alberto Gonzalez to resign because he kept on saying, you know, I don't know. I really can't answer that. I really can't answer that at the moment. And he's supposed to be a senior legal analyst, and.
Well, I'd also like to see one human being who sits on that Senate panel, who sat on that Senate panel that day, whether it's Democrat or Republican, this point is immaterial to me. One human being asked this rat bastard, smarmy little thug who's sitting there, why have you authorized torture in the name of the people of the United States? And nobody will do that because that's just not what you do.
Yeah, they didn't ask that question, but then, no, I really felt that they should have asked them to stop lying. They didn't use the word lie, and they didn't use the word resign. And that's another thing. Every Democrat, like, now the Democrats have the power, and they're not telling us about lying, too. Even a Democratic response after the State of the Union, I mean, Jim Webb, I mean, he made a pretty good speech, but I was waiting for him to say, you know, this guy lied to us, and he didn't even say that. And so now I came to understand a lot of what you're saying, and I better watch it because I mean, listening to your show is really opening my eyes. And
well,
you're doing an amazing job.
Well, okay, that's good. From what you take away from the show, or from what I say, or what the other callers say, that's good. It's always eye opening to me too. But I appreciate you checking in. Okay, Moses.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. Take care. You have a nice evening. We're going to have to leave it there. Sorry I didn't get to your calls. Folks who are leaving on hold, we'll be here tomorrow night. All right, listen, thanks for participating in the program tonight. Except that right-wing nutball, you know, to hell with you. Go someplace else. Call Hannity. He'd love to hear from you. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.